which is really cool because Wes and Judy Robbie were a part of Adventure Church for years, and they served here. Wes was actually on the elder board here, and they came into, Wes really like stepped into understanding about hearing God's voice at this church. So they had come off the mission field from the Philippines, and their daughter recommended that they come check out this church, and they really just jumped in to community here. And God did some amazing things in their hearts during their time here, and then had an amazing mission that they had no idea he was going to use them to start back in the Philippines again. A whole nother life story that you wouldn't have thought was still coming in your life. And he's done amazing things. And so we prioritize missionaries. Like, if they're in town, whatever series we're on right now, we're talking about Fathered by God. We're going to pick right back up next Sunday. But we clear the table for the missionaries to come and have the service to share these amazing testimonies and stories of what God's doing through them. So Wes and Judy, would you guys come up here? Put that over here. This is yours.
Hey, everybody. Great to see ya. Whoops, this thing's coming apart. Man, it's good to be here. This is home for us, like Jeff said. This is where we first came to church when we came to Duval. Our daughter said, come to Adventure Church when we first came here. And we came here and... this was our first and only church when we came here, and I came here and said, gee, I don't believe that you hear from God. And for some reason, Randy and Jeff and the other guys put me on the lead team and said, oh, yes, you do. And convinced me otherwise, and the Lord said, I want you to start a thing called Fruit Bearers. And I said, that's ridiculous, I'm 65 years old. And I started a thing called Fruit Bearers. And at age 65, you don't start a mission at age 65, do you? And evidently you do. And so we're going to tell you today about Fruit Bearers. And I look out over the audience today and I see people who have been to the Philippines, and I see people who have supported Fruit Bearers from day one. I see people who prayed about Fruit Bearers from before it even was a Jeff, when we were saying, should there be a Fruit Bearers? And sure enough, here it is. And so, man, here we are back home. And so we're going to talk about Fruit Bearers today. And I see people have supported us from day one. So this is wonderful to be back home. And so here we are. This is great. So we're going to start. There's some of our kids, a bunch of kids from Fruit Bearers. And so here we go. There it is, Fruit Bearers. What we do in the Philippines is we support kids. We go up into the hills and the mountains, and we find kids who need help, kids who are disabled. And it's based on John 15:8. And some of you know all about this because you've either been there or you've heard us talk about it before. But it's based on John 15:8. When you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father, and you prove that you are my disciples. That's why it's called Fruit Bearers. And it's in the Philippines. The Philippines is a country made up of islands. It's all islands. Can anybody tell me how many islands there are in the Philippines?
7,107.
Very good.
It's right up there.
Very good. 7,107 islands. All right. And if you come over and visit us, we will give you a tour of every one of them if we have time, which I doubt that we will. But the one that we minister on is the one with the blue arrow there, and we only go to half of it where the especially red part of it is there. Anyway, it is called Negros, and it's the fourth largest island in the Philippines, and there it is, blown up, and we put a line down through the middle of it there, and we only minister in the eastern part of it, and it's called Oriental, and it is divided into Oriental and Occidental by a string of mountains. And it's interesting because that string of mountains, as it divides it, it divides it into
two different language groups.
Pardon me?
Two different language groups.
Yeah, there's two different languages even in that one island. And the languages are so much different that the people there don't even understand each other. And we only work on the one side where you can see the blue stars. My wife really likes putting stars on maps. And so she put the stars where we have people. And as you can see, we take care of people on almost the whole side of Oriental. And so we cover almost all of Oriental. And in the 8.5 years that we have been
working
in Oriental, we have really spread out over Oriental, and the Lord has given us the opportunity to spread out and cover that part of Negros, and we have had that opportunity, and we really have spread out, and I'm going to give my wife the opportunity to cover this.
Okay. You know what? My husband hasn't been feeling well, so we didn't know that this might happen. So basically, how do I make this thing go? This one? Okay. Actually, Fruit Bearers started with Geneseo. We had a friend who kept praying that we would come over. In the meantime, we were here, and we had a team of men from this church praying. And this little girl came up, and her name was Geneseo. And really, you look at her, and she was burned when she was 4. She grew, but the scar tissue didn't, and she was being pulled apart. And Wes got involved with it. And he also, the church here got involved with it. So really and truly, this church was here from the very beginning. It was this little girl that tugged our hearts back to the Philippines. And there she is today. Actually, she's even better than that. That's 8 surgeries later. It saved her life. And Wes was so concerned about her that there had been other missions that had tried to help her, but they really didn't have the resources. And he said, you know what? We're going to start Fruit Bearers. And that was from the prayer of these men. I was in the other room hiding, and I could hear them praying. And so Fruit Bearers came into being, and its purpose, to help Geneseo and other kids that are like her, kids that are without hope and helpless. God, you talked about God fathering. And so what we thought we'd do today is kind of go back, because some of you are new. And what do we do there? Basically, the God told us to go into the mountains and the hills, find needy kids, and show them his father love. And one of the first ways we found that he did this was through the schools. Now, when you go up into the mountains and hills, you'll find a lot of kids don't go to school. They can't. Their parents do not have the money. If they live far away, they have no transportation money. They don't have food to take, extra food to take to school. They can't buy the paper, can't buy the pencils, they can't buy the erasers. They're home. Imagine being a little girl or a little boy growing up, and you're home and you know other people are going to school and they have a chance to have a better life, but they don't. Maybe you're washing, hand washing clothes for the neighbor with your mother. Maybe you're working in the rice fields. This first little girl gets a chance to go to school because of the father love. He said, go into the mountains and show them my love. This little girl is so proud. She wanted her picture taken. You can't tell because she looks so serious. But she's got on a backpack. She's got on cute clothes. She's got on shoes. And guess what's in her bag? Pencils, erasers, so forth, paper. She gets to go to school. Now look at the next group. See that little boy? Look at the look on his face. He's been in school for 2 weeks. He's 8. 8 years he lived in silence and isolation because he's deaf. And he is so excited to have words. So excited. And see the little girl next to him? That's Catherine. She also started school late. Why? Her dad was working, single father, laboring, but he did not have money for transportation. They lived too far from school. But finally, he moved closer to the school. She could go, but guess what? She came without food. No breakfast, no lunch. Now they both are going to school, both have transportation, both have enough food. The father love was get those kids in school because it's going to change their lives. We require that anyone we help has to send their kids to school because it gives them a chance at a different life. Okay, so how we show God's love. In 2018, gosh, I can't even read that. Okay. We also show it medically. Now, I know we have some medical doctors here. We did 14 medical procedures, many hearing tests, the H is gone, and checkups. But also we had a medical miracle. Oh, so we were already doing things and helping kids to do better. But a medical miracle is we had a lot of kids that we'd fix their lips, but they had holes in their mouth. That's called a cleft palate. And you know what? If you have a cleft palate, not only do you not eat very well, but you can't really speak. There's no place. You've got to use the roof of your mouth. You've got to use your tongue. You need that space. And we tried to get help, but it really didn't work. Then we had an American surgeon. He says, I volunteer. We said, we take you. And we have a hospital we've been working with for years. And they said, we'll take him too. Open arms. He came over and he not only helped our kids, but he also showed the cooperating doctor some techniques to use. 12 kids' lives were changed. Most of them either were not talking or you couldn't understand a word they said. I want to show you these two. Now, some of them were older. These guys are about 4, And they're just, and their name is April James and April Jade. I thought April was a girl name, but the parents said, no, they're both born in April. So of course it's April James and April Jade. And they're twins, so I'm only going to show you one. And there he is. And you can see he's had cleft lip. But that doesn't mean he can talk. It just looks good. And that's what his mouth looked like. I'm just going to show you his mouth because the other one looked like it. And this is afterwards. Is that a miracle? But you know what? It wasn't just the kids' lives who are changed. You know, we have five pastors that are work with fruit bearers. Four full-time, one part-time. So when we work with people, our pastors are there. So we're having prayer group in the hospital in a room where all the kids and the parents are sleeping and recuperating. That's an overnight hospital stay. And the parents came up. They said to our pastor, you know what? This is bigger than us. We could never have done this. Another one said, yeah, it's bigger than fruit bearers too. And they said, yeah, it's a God thing. God did this. So remember our thing, we bring glory to the Lord? When we do medical procedures, it brings glory to the Lord. Now we have two ways. We send kids to school and medical. But the medical is a special situation. Here's another special situation.
I'll, give me a shot at this.
Okay.
I'm sorry I had a rough night and a rough day, but give me a shot at this. My staff took me up to a place and said, there's a girl and family up here. They really have a rough-looking house, and I think we need to try and sponsor this girl. And that's their house. And I said, yeah, when we got up there, they said, we're not even sure that you can make it up to their house. It was kind of up in the mountains, up on the side of a hill. And it was rough getting up there, believe me. And we got up there, and it was rough getting up there. And it was a rough-looking house, as you can see. And we sat down, and they said, they took my picture, and they said, why aren't you smiling? And I said, smile in front of that house? And I said, I can't smile in front of that house. And they said, well, okay. And they took my picture, and I said, okay, go ahead. And they said, we knocked on the door. It was kind of hard finding the door, but we yelled in there to see if anybody was there, and they weren't home. And I said, okay, go ahead anyway. And so we yelled in there, and there was nobody home. And I said, okay, well, let's go ahead anyway. And there was nobody there, but we said, well, we'll go ahead anyway. And I said, well, I tell you what, they're not home, but who lives here? And they said, well, there's a 14-year-old girl that lives here, and her name is Melissa. And I said, well, I don't know much about her. You tell me who she is and tell me about her, and we are going to sponsor Melissa. I don't know about her. You just tell me, and we are going to sponsor her. We will find a sponsor, and Fruit Bearers will sponsor her until we find somebody who's going to sponsor her. Obviously, this girl needs a sponsor. Look at the house that she lives in. And I said, I'll tell you what, they need a new house as well. And we are going to build her a new house. And we are going to build them a new house. And there's the house. And so, As we were building that house, and the way we build a house is, we build it kind of like Habitat for Humanity does. For the most part, we supply the materials, and we have the family supply the labor, and so that they have a part in it. And then we have them have their family and their friends and others gather and help them as well. Now, we did one other thing with this house as well. There was a man that lived not too far away who was out of work, and his family was almost hungry and destitute as well because he had no work. And so we had him come and help, and we gave him some wages so that he could buy some food for his family. And so he gained from it as well. And so that, not yet.
Oh, sorry.
And so he gained from it as well. And so that is how that came about. Now, stay there a minute. And so as that was being built, we called that, and now the man's name, Melissa's father's name, was Solomon. There's a whole story about that too. We won't go into that right now. But Melissa's father's name was Solomon. And we had fun calling that Solomon's Palace. And it really was a palace for that family. And they had never lived in anything like that before. I mean, that is a palace compared to anything that they had lived in. And at the present time, we are in the process of bringing electricity to that, because they had never in their lives had electricity in any of the shacks that they had lived in before. And so we are in the process of bringing electricity. And it turned out that Solomon is my age. He's, should I tell you? He's 73 years old. And I've become good friends with Solomon. And whenever I go there, I've been there a couple times now, and Solomon sees me coming, and his eyes light up, and we shake hands, and we're like, we call each other brothers, and we're brothers, we're brother, and we're Solomon, he's my good buddy, and we're brothers, and anyway, so that's that's Solomon's Palace.
I thought he was going to do this. Being involved with Solomon led us to being involved with the neighbors, because the house that we built wasn't way, way up in the hills. We built it down below, and it was on a main footpath. And they would go by, and they'd look at this and say, oh, my goodness, what is this? Who is this? And we always give credit to the Lord, always. And so the people, we ended up doing a one-day vacation Bible school. This is a pattern we have. Usually it's longer than that. And we expected kids to come, and we had 52 adults. And a church sprang up, which is often the case. Because, see, when you go and show them the Father's love, then they want to know who's doing this. And they want to know more about him. So a church springs up. And they end up, we have a lot of pastors, three of our pastors ended up pastoring it for several times, and many people accepted the Lord. And after they accepted the Lord, Solomon came to Wes and he said, hey, is there somebody that can baptize us? We said, well, yeah, we have a whole bunch of pastors. 22 people wanted to be baptized. We didn't have room to carry everybody to the town, which was about 8 miles away. And so the mayor sent us a city dump truck. And we took them to the city springs, and that's where they got baptized. So there is, that's the other glory to the Lord. Not only was the house bring glory to the Lord, but also the baptism. But you know what? One thing, those are special projects. We always send kids to school. We do medical needs if we need to. We do special projects such as this house, but we have always had vacation Bible school. And it's different from your vacation Bible schools, because you bring the kids here. We go there. The other thing that's different is you think of Vacation Bible School as having kids. Ours is kids, but there's an awful lot of adults. So we go to the neighbors. We go to the barrios. We bring the Lord to the families. We ask a family that's hosting, that we have a child that we are taking care of, if they will host. Well, of course they're going to host. They want to give back. Oh, yes, we would like to. So it's our outreach. You might say that Fruit Bearers has an outreach. All of the many churches that we have an outreach every summer because it's at a neighbor house, and they invite all their neighbors, and people that have not even gone to church will be coming. The reason they don't go to church is because they can't afford to have transportation to take all their family down to town. So we go to them. I'm just not going to talk a lot about it. You've seen this picture before, but look at their houses. You see they're not real, real rich. Here they are. They're very serious. They memorize verses. They pray. They learn about the Lord. Who is God? Who is Jesus? And they also have crafts. But you know what's neat about it? This is a disabled child. This is a special needs child. Her mother can be there with her other kids and work with that special needs child. And our pastors can walk right up and help them too. And it's all done in their language. It's not done in English, it's Visayan. That's what they speak. That's what they understand. Then 2019, we had VBS in 21 different neighborhoods and 800 kids. Now, we're not including the adults, so you're looking probably at about 1,000 people. 21 different locations. Is that amazing?
Okay, I get to talk about this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got this.
Okay. We didn't know what we're doing.
Now, why would I put a picture of an old man up there? I get to talk about the old man. This old man, it was fun. We went into a neighborhood one day, and this guy came running up to me, and he shook my hand, and he says, "Thank you so much for bringing the gospel into our neighborhood." And he didn't say it in English like that, though. And he said it in Cebuano, their local language. And I didn't understand it. I don't speak Cebuano. And I said to my pastor that was standing there, I said, "What did he say?" And he came over and he told me, he said, "Thank you." He said, "Thank you for bringing the gospel into our neighborhood." And I said, "Well, how did that happen?" And he said, "Well, his grandson came to your Vacation Bible School, and he brought him to the Vacation Bible School. And the granddad, Esmeraldo, accepted the Lord at Vacation Bible School." And I said, "Isn't that cool?" And so anyway, and that's happened many, many times because so many of, like Judy said, of the adults bring their kids to Vacation Bible School and end up accepting the Lord. And we became buddies too. I've got an 8x10 picture of good old Esmeraldo. We became buddies too. I've got an 8x10 picture, that one right there, on my wall at my apartment in the Philippines. And so, yeah.
So when we go into the mountains and the hills and we find needy kids and we show them the Father's love, what happens is they always want to say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, Fruit Bearers. Oh, that's wonderful." We say, "No. Why are you doing this?" We say, "Well, two things. One, it's not us. We are only representing the Lord. Truly, it's the Lord. We could not do this. And two, it's because he loves you and he has something for you." would you like to know more about Jesus? And here's what's happened. We have planted 9 churches. That's amazing. There are 9 churches. They're not big churches, but they're out in the barrios. We are supporting. There's 2 churches supported by Fruit Bearers. One pastor's on our salary full-time, and one's on part-time. We have 3 satellite churches that come off one of our main churches. Now, this is something new. We now have an intern discipleship group for older kids, and we have 2 of them running. And you'll hear more about that some other time. But they have already had 1 beginning camp, and they are meeting every, one group's meeting every other Saturday, and one group's meeting every Saturday. These are our future leaders. We don't want to lose our people. You know that in the barrios, they drink tuba, and the women gamble. But our kids are going with our pastors. They're actually going with them to all of our vacation Bible schools. We have at least 5 weekly Bible studies and 4 monthly Bible studies. The 4 monthly Bible studies are huge. There are a lot of people. This is our first church. I would really like to say this is Adventures Church. That church was built. The core people were Genesil, the burn girl, who you guys encouraged us to go and get involved. That was the girl that was calling us to the Philippines. So it's really your church. And that church got so crowded that just like you guys plant sister churches, well, the founding group in that, Genesil's family, said, why don't we come to our barrio and we can use, we can't build a church there because we're squatters, but we can enlarge grandma's house. And so does this look familiar? That's her porch, but it was small when you were there. We put a metal roof on it so it didn't leak anymore, didn't drip water on your head. And we expanded it so you could get 10 people in there. Now you can get a lot more. Filipinos can get a lot more in one space than we can. Well, that's the adults. If this is going to be a church, where are the kids going to meet? Aha! These guys built a cement pad. Your youth team. And there's the cement pad. And guess what it's used for now? It's used for children's church. Let's see, now can we turn?
And I am yours. I don't wanna be, the same.
They're using what you guys built. I don't know what happened to the pictures. There's some underneath that are not showing, but actually I have a picture of showing you guys working. I don't know if we could go back and if it would show up. There should be one right before it. It's not showing it. I'm sorry about that. This is another church that grew up, and you guys were really involved in this one too. This started as a vacation Bible school. It's an unusual church because it's a church now. It has 52 children. And we call it the Cebulon Church of Children. 52 children. But we do have a pastor who does the older kids. We have his wife who does Sunday school. And we have 2 adults. And they said, it started with Vacation Bible School. Oh, please, can't we continue? Please. And so it is so hot. And when it's rainy season, it is so wet, we put a tarp over them. But that really wasn't enough. And so we eventually built a shelter. And your adventure team came right after it was built, and they varnished it. Not everybody, but some of you did. And there is the shade shelter. What an improvement. They meet once a week. They have church, and they have children's church. And here's the team. Do you recognize anybody in there? They're putting on their drama, and the kids are hanging over the edge. That has a cement pad. It has a metal roof. It's open, and it's being used all the time. Well, we found out, too, that a lot of these kids were coming without food in the morning and going home to almost empty cupboards. The kids in the children's church, why is it a children's church? That's because most of those kids are raising themselves. We have JR and Mark who literally, when we met them, I think Mark was either 13 or 14, and JR was 8 or 9, and they live by themselves. There's no dad, no mom. They're raising themselves. They do their own shopping, they're cooking, they're washing. And the shade shelter is their family. There's Warren. When I met Warren, I thought, gosh, he must be 12. And he takes care of his little brother who's 4. Where are the parents? Dad's in prison. Mother's works full time. And so they come to the shade shelter. And so the elders are the older kids. That is JR. He's the one that lives by himself and his brother. He's now 14. And that girl comes from a Muslim family, and they're hiding out from the Muslim family in a different island. And they're part of the shade shelter kids. It's a real church, if you can imagine. It's one of my favorite places to go. Okay, so how we show God's love. Meeting the needs of kids by finding sponsors. Sponsorship is financially supporting a kid. It's essential. It's a lifeline. There are a lot of people in here that have been faithful sponsors. And what your sponsorship does is it is $35 a month. It keeps a child in school. It keeps them in school. If they don't have their child in school, they don't get their sponsorship money. But it does more than that. It changes the entire family for this reason. Whatever doesn't go to take care of the kids in school can go towards food for the family, and the whole family gets healthier. And by taking the drain off the family, because usually we sponsor a child with a disability, it allows the family to send another child to school too. But most important, it opens the door to their hearts. And they say, why are you doing this? Who is doing this? And again, we talk about the Father's love. It goes directly to the family. We don't spend a lot of money on administration. Most of it goes to the family. We hold back some in case they're not sponsoring them anymore. And also we hold back a little bit so they have a big hunk to go to school. You saw the backpack, the new clothes, the shoes, everything they need to go to school. I want to give you an example. And you guys have seen this picture before. I picked it up deliberately. This little girl is Kyla. I want to tell you her story. She was born deaf. She also has a faulty heart. But it was being deaf. Her mom, when she was 3 years old, said, I'm out of here. I don't want this child. And grandma said, I don't want her either. And the aunt said, we don't want her. She's deaf, she's hard. What do we do with someone? She can't even, they didn't want her. So great grandma said, I'll take her. Now great grandma was old and she was living mainly on a little garden she had. And so her and Kyla were living on root crops, cassava, potatoes, carrots, and if they could sell any of it, they may get some rice. And grandma said, well, she needs to be in school. So she marched her down to a school where we just happened to have a very, very good friend, and she got hold of it, and she says, this little girl, her family's in trouble. And of course, we have 5 pastors and 3 social workers, so we send the social workers to check out the family. And yes, they're really in need. And yes, we will support her. And so she is. Her name is Kyla. She was age 8 at that time, ungraded. Of course she's ungraded. She doesn't know anything. She's trying to sign the word for math. Do anybody know the sign for math? She's almost got it right. She's got 3 fingers, but it has to be like this, math. That's math. So she's learning the words so she can learn to communicate. If she can learn to communicate, she can get a job. She can take care of herself eventually. Oh. So there she is. She's waiting at this point at 10, and we're trying to arrange a heart surgery for her. and she's too skinny. One of our staff had to take her in, and they said, we're going out for ice cream every day. But she's still waiting, and there she's age 12. That's after surgery. Isn't that cool? What a difference. And now she's finishing school. Now let me ask you something. What do you think would have happened to that girl if there hadn't been God's love for her? What if? She's going to have a job. She is an excellent communicator. So she'll be able to get a job. How can you help? Let me do. Prayer support is the most important. You know what? You cannot believe. At first we thought, wow, this is so cool. We're not having any opposition. Ha, 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 ha. We have lots of opposition. We've gone into areas where we did not realize there was such witchcraft. Have you ever heard of the ring cult? We'd never heard of the ring cult. They have a Visayan name for it. And the power is in the ring. And they have all these talismans. We had one of the ladies from our church go to the house because it was her brother who was dying and lead him to the Lord. And the wife said, well, where are we going to have a funeral now? He just denounced everything that we believe, this cult. And she said, would your pastor do the funeral? And guess what? One of our pastors did the funeral. And we have a couple of families there that are attending. I don't know if they've accepted the Lord completely, but they're attending. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So prayer support. We are getting into more and more things that you don't see on the surface. And tell others about fruit bearers. The more help that our staff can have, they are running like a clock over there. Really and truly, Wes and I step in. We help them, we make suggestions, but really our support for them is financially and prayer. Yes, we do go over there, and Wes has a vision that they don't have, and he shares his vision. Support the general funds. It's out of the general funds. The sponsorship money goes to the family, buys food, sends them to school. The general fund is where your feeding program comes from. It's where your medical procedures come from, special projects like houses come from. Our gift to a special project. You can say what you want, what you would like to be involved with. And of course, sponsor a child.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I don't want to do this first. Remember I told you about the shade shelter kids? You know, I was out visiting their homes. And Wes and I were out visiting their homes, and they were following us around. And each home we'd go, we'd pick up more kids. We were growing up in the hills. And we'd go to the next house and more. And so I asked him, I said, well, what does the shade shelter, the Sabulon Children's, All Children's Church mean to you guys? And their eyes just got kind of bright. I said, well, and one little boy says, well, I'm the choir director. I said, okay, well, why don't you lead us in a song? And I took this on my phone. This is spontaneous. This was not planned at all. And there they are.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the...
It really shows you in a way that I cannot tell you how much bringing the Father's love to a neighborhood means. Thank you so much. It's 10, 11, 16, so that's about right, right?
You guys stay here for a sec. I'd like to just pray for you guys, okay? So what I'm impressed with just in hearing their story, number one, I love the challenge of not retiring. You don't retire from God using you in amazing ways. And the difference between them saying yes or no when they listened to the Lord and God called them into what he had for them, all those stories that you just heard about, and that's just a few that you had time to share, happened because they obeyed God. They heard his voice, and they acted upon it. And that's a huge picture of what we have the opportunity to do every single day of our lives, right? There's a difference between stepping into what the Father is bringing us up into, maturing us up into, where we can just turn our backs and walk away. And would those stories happen? Like, he's making a difference through us. So I just thank you for challenging us with that. And Adventure supports Fruit Bearers. We've sent missions teams. We hope to do that in the future again. Individuals here are sponsoring kids.
Yeah.
So there's ways to get involved. A lot of stuff on the back table there. Okay. Oh, you guys want to talk about that? I was just going to pray for you guys real quick. But there's you have a bunch of materials back there that they can grab.
If you want to sponsor a child, there's a card. If you want to sponsor a child, there's a card to fill out. And you can say that you want to sponsor a child, and we'll get hold of you. We have a waiting list of kids that need to be sponsored. And so there's also three brochures, and explains more of what we do. You can look and read them and share them with your friends.
Stay here. And I'll pray for you guys. Oh, Lord, thank you for Wes and Judy. Thank you for their humility and just stepping in and trusting that you're going to do miraculous things through them. Not asking all the questions that stop people from obeying in radical ways. Just stepping in faith. So God, I just pray that you would bless them as they continue on this journey. Lord, there's challenges that they're facing. But God, I pray that those challenges would be opportunities for you to just blow us away with your amazing, amazing love and pursuit, not only of these kids, of these people in the Philippines, but of Wes and Judy and their hearts, the reflection of your character. God, we pray for these kids that are waiting to be sponsored, the stories, the next stories that you're waiting to write, but you're waiting to include us in the miracles. So I pray that you would move on hearts, people in this room who are supposed to be a part of those miracles, and be like Wes and Judy, and be like you, and step in Jesus' name. Amen.